You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
The year is 3129. Mankind is adrift in the stars. Giant spaceships hurtle the last of humanity towards their destiny, whatever it may be. Only one thing can keep them going and power these great ships, will feed the minds and spirits of these people. And that is the last brewing company to survive in the future, Circle Brewing. So great was their product that they indeed became the legendary Earth Brewers. But, you know, it's right now, 2018, or maybe 2019, depending on when you're listening to this. And you can get Circle Brewing right by going into Austin, by stopping into their brewery on Breaker Lane. Or you can get it in convenience stores where there's all sorts of good stuff. Martin, you're from the future. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, Austin is a city with no shortage of breweries, but this is some of the best I've ever had.
Well, there you go. You can't ask somebody who's going to give you a truer thing about beer than Mr. Martin Thomas, because he's an alcoholic.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Normally when I see a film that runs at over 3 hours, I'm like, no way. But this German movie, Never Look Away, is in fact one of the films nominated for Best Foreign Language Film this year. And also, to be fair, I actually wasn't one of the people who went to go see this regardless. I went to go see Happy Death Day to You, which was not over 3 hours long, decidedly. But,
and will be nominated next year for Best Foreign Film.
It seems unlikely. But the two brave souls who ventured out to the movie theater to experience this movie to see if it really is worthy of an Oscar nomination are
Alan.
Yeah, I'm Laura.
Why don't you tell me, because I really have almost no idea what this is about. And I forgot, I said it was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. It's also nominated for Best Cinematography.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
So what is the story? What is this movie about?
It's basically, it takes place between the years like 1937 and 1964,
yeah,
65, somewhere around then.
A couple decades.
And it kind of spans the era of Nazi Germany through, like, leading up to, like, Berlin Wall Germany. Follows the life of an artist from a young boy up until really, until he finds his artistic voice. That's the basic movie.
That's a good encapsulation.
Yeah, that's the basic plot, but within the movie, it is an epic. There's a love story. There's
key word, epic.
Yeah. There's actually, in the middle of the movie, there's like this little short film that's essentially a romantic comedy in there. There's some Nazi stuff, war criminals. There's, you know, it encapsulates everything you would imagine,
but it's
1937.
On a very personal scale. It's expansive. It's always very personal stories.
Through a very personal lens. Like, it follows this one artist very closely, with the exception of a few other side characters, mainly one other who kind of plays as, like, the arch-villain throughout. Not, like, arch, like, but, like, the consistent villain throughout the movie.
Yeah, I fucking hated that guy.
Yeah.
He does live on a skull-shaped island, so.
Yeah, he needed to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not having it with that guy.
That guy, man, he's the biggest fuck you, man.
Yeah,
he's
a big-time villain. He is a Nazi. That's not a spoiler.
Not a lot of nice Nazi characters. No, I mean, unless you count Hogan's Heroes, and even then, they're just more dumb than nice.
Yeah, that's a thing. But yeah, and seeing the plot out like that, it sounds simple. The movie is epic, and it does earn its runtime, I think. I was never really bored throughout this movie.
No.
I don't know, like, it was fully engaging.
Oh, yeah, I was totally into it all the way.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that I had a 22-ounce beer, and I was like, why do I have to pee so badly?
I wonder.
I had to get up.
Oh, my God, I had no idea.
I had to get up twice, I'm ashamed to say. Like, I was drinking iced tea, and it was just like... I didn't want to check the clock. I was like, oh, I don't want to look because my what time it is. Not, you know, don't turn the phone on in the theater. And also, I don't want to see it and see that I have to hold it for another hour and a half or something. So I was just like, I'm just going to run and go.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not going to look.
So it looks like this guy, it's based on the life of a German painter, Gerhard Richter, although they don't name him that.
Because no.
Apparently, it was a lot looser than they insinuated. In fact, the artist himself, who's considered one of the most important German artists alive today, has come out very upset with this movie, calling it abuse and gross distortion of his biography.
Yeah. So. And actually, yeah, on the way, actually in the garage afterwards, I was kind of looking up things about the movie and I read about his life. And it seems like early facts, like factual stuff, is there. But even though it's a German production in classic, like, Hollywood way, it's very sensationalized versions of it. There's connections, and there's, like, a lot of stuff rooted for a lot of drama.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if the movie's being made about you, I can see how that's really frustrating. But as, like, a piece of entertainment that, in like, has something to say about art and finding the truth in art and fascism and individualism and how all that...
Yeah,
it's definitely a pretty incredible movie when it comes to, like, displaying and carrying the load of all that.
Yeah, you know? That's some really nice. I mean, its themes are consistent throughout, and it's like, these are the themes of the movie, and it lays them out before you, and it is consistent the whole way, and it's nice.
Yeah.
So when the Nazis are there, he's just a kid, right?
Yeah, it starts off, the movie opens with, he's a child, and he's with his aunt, and they're on an exhibition of art that's been deemed, like, awful by the Nazis, and it's all like modern art and very expressionistic, and like and the Nazis like, look how shitty this is, it's so stupid, this doesn't even look like a person, like, essentially. And but the aunt's kind of taking him there to be like, check this shit out, it's pretty cool, huh, like, on the low.
Yeah. Don't say anything good about it, but this stuff is good.
Yeah, exactly. It's very on the hush. And she has schizophrenia, which you come to find out a couple scenes later.
Yes.
And then that's the interesting thing about this movie that I haven't seen in many other movies, which shows the toll that the Nazis took on the citizens of Germany who weren't really, like, their own citizens, anyone with any type of disability, physical or mental, they were being rounded up and euthanized as well to preserve, like, the good German genes, which is something I haven't really seen portrayed in the movie. And the first act of that, of this movie, deals with that a lot and the impact it has on this child and his family. After that, just on a family who's not really, he's like, yeah, we're German, and, you know, sure, like, Heil Hitler, I guess, you know, let's just, trying to hang out in this countryside, we don't like this.
And they're in Dresden, so it's not like they're in, you know, Berlin or mainland Germany. I mean, they're in East Germany.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you can tell they're, like, want to be, like, conscientious.
Objectors?
Yeah, but that doesn't really fly in Nazi Germany. Sure. So
they didn't offer that as an option.
Yeah. So,
they had their own ways around it.
It's an interesting look at that. Like, that's like kind of the first act of this movie deals with him coming up and that being part of that family and, his impact his aunt had on him. That was like maybe my favorite part of the movie. Just cause it was a little something new.
Yeah. Cause you never see that part of Germany portrayed. You only see that, Germans portrayed in that era as bad Nazis.
Yeah. All Germans are either
Jewish,
like,
and being gassed.
Right.
Yeah.
It's never anything else.
Well, there were plenty of Germans who wanted nothing to do with the Nazi Party, to be sure. They weren't always allowed to be terribly loud about it, for sure. But
just trying to make it through the day, probably.
Right. Trying to keep your head down.
Mm-hmm. And then, and the movie moves at a good, like, it, every once in a while, sometimes it's 5 minutes, it'll switch from 1942 to 1945. Sometimes it's 40 minutes, and it goes from 45 to 51.
Yeah.
But actually, just having that little Chiron up here every once in a while kind of helped the movie move at a good pace.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, we just jumped 6 years. I wonder where we're at in these people's lives.
What are you doing?
So I know, like, it follows him going to art school, and then you guys both said that this is kind of a love story as well. So what is that? What is that part of that? What is that? What happens there? What's the story, Morning Glory?
Well, it's
this lady.
Yeah, it's kind of it's really classical. Classically portrayed, he meets
this girl
in art school, falls in love with her very quickly. They go on a very good, they have a little meet cute. They go on a date.
It's so sweet.
And then it's
so nicely done.
And there's like,
It's like this true love story. They, like, love each other. They love each other.
And then tragic stuff probably happens.
Really, that's another thing, the light touch of that, those scenes, which kind of leads into, like, another, a big tragic moment in the movie, which I won't spoil or anything, but it really is played like a romantic comedy. There's, like, hijinks involved with, like, the classic, like, my parents are home.
Oh, my God.
Like, that, like, very well, like... Like, it's been done 1,000 times.
Right.
And it works in this, and just in it being in, like, we just saw this Nazis happening. There's this, all this, like, intense shit, and having this kind of a short film of a romantic comedy just inserted in the middle. It's a
little John Hughes movie in the middle.
It really was. And it was kind of awesome.
It like, was totally awesome.
It helps, yeah.
And it also helped the payoff. There are a lot of setups and payoffs in this movie, and it always pays off.
Yeah.
Every little thing that the director does, and which is nice.
There is. Even, like, not to skip all the way to the end, and I'm not going to spoil or anything, but there is a big emotional payoff or something.
Yep.
You don't actually get the plot neatly bow tied up, like, what you want out of it, but there is, like, a thematic, like, it correlates with the art into, like, the history and the Nazism and the individualism, and it all, like, wraps up in this emotional scene towards the end. That is really impressive.
It's really good. It gave me chills. It was so nice. And there's a lot of art in here, and they show a lot of the artistic process. They talk a lot about art, but it's never boring. And there is some, you know, arty talk, but it's not over the top because, I mean, I know that when I art out, people are like, oh, my God, Lara, really? Are you still talking about that? But... So they have little snippets about how artists talk and about the process, and then you see a lot of his different experimentation and his painting, and it's really nice. It's nice to see, especially on the big screen. It was really...
Beautiful. There's, like, very, like, macro, micro, like, shots of the painting, and as he's making little touches. Wait, and you saying that reminds me, like, yeah, this movie has Nazi war criminals, Nazi Germany. It's a true art film.
Yep.
In parts of the beginning, is like, so it's actually, like, also, like, an art film.
Yep.
Like, it's very experimental, some shots.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Early in the movie, and that kind of ties around back into the end, and how early parts of the movie are shot in a way that kind of inform his art later.
The cinematography is, like, spot on. It is so artsy. It just ties right
in. So it definitely deserves its nomination for that?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. And it's also, like it does sensationalize aspects of his life. And there's some Hollywood-y stuff
the
in
music,
here.
The score is very heavy-handed.
And the cinematographer has been nominated 6 times.
Okay,
Best cinematography.
It's incredible. Like, we get landscape shots, and you also get these, like, shots of paintings and, like, the process, which are also beautiful, and, like, discomposing, like, getting really close up on a canvas and the lighting that takes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just as beautiful as, like, the landscape of, like, East Germany and some points, like, in the countryside.
Yeah.
And they're equally as beautiful. Like, it's really good-looking
movie.
And
the shots themselves are all, like, works of art. A lot, you know, a lot of them, like, there's, like,
just great composition.
Yeah, yeah, it's so beautiful.
This director, Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck, there's a name if you ever had one, directed a previous Best Foreign Language Film Oscar winner in 2006, The Lives of Others, which is really good.
I love that movie.
The remake, not so much.
I didn't even know it was remade.
Yeah, it's not very good. And then also The Tourist.
He did The Tourist.
Which is not very good. Yeah.
That was a two primus. My night for me.
To what?
Primus. Live Oak Primus. They're
That's how you remember you gauge things by.
Well, it's a high alcohol beer, and I was like, dude, I need another one to make it through this. It's really gorgeous, but the movie itself
wasn't so good.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Well, no, you're not missing out.
No, you're really not. Lives of Others, I definitely recommend.
That's a great
movie. Obviously, you guys really recommend this one, which doesn't surprise me whatsoever to hear that. I'm actually super excited to see it. I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to now.
It is three. I mean,
it's long.
Yeah, and it is 3 hours, you know.
3 hours and 8 minutes.
It's a long one. And
I have no idea going in. I wish I'd looked.
Yeah, I had an idea that it might be, but I didn't look at the exact time because I didn't want to have it on my head. I was like, I know this is
2 hours, 2:20, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I do suggest, if you're able to, see this in the theater.
Absolutely.
Because this is a classic type of movie. When you try to watch at home, you're going to get distracted. You're going to bail a little bit. And it doesn't mean you're not good at watching movies or, like, you're a bad moviegoer, but I do the same thing when you're at home.
Right. Check your phone.
It's one of the biggest advantages going to the movies. You're locked in. You kind of just have to watch it. And this really requires that. Its length and its beauty on the big screen. I think it benefits from a theater viewing.
Right on. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Alan, keep going.
Everything I said about this movie, it's really good. And it's, if there's one complaint I have, it is kind of a classic Oscar-y epic movie. But on the flip side of that, these type of epic movies aren't made very often anymore, at least not in America. You kind of have to look to foreign films for those movies. Like, just those 3 hours, there's seven different movies kind of packed into here, and there's a huge arc. So we see a character go from age 5 to 35, you know, like 30 years of a life, and nothing's kind of snipped and cheated. It's a long process of seeing someone grow up, and then seeing that person find their artistic voice. And that is the epic, is just finding, like, watching an artist find his voice. It's beautiful, and it's awesome. And it kind of reminds you of, like, how good movies can be without being huge spectacles. Or, like, wildly inventive, too, because it's not like it's a state-of-the-art, holy shit, you got to see this new type of film. It's a very classically made movie, just made really well. And it's super, like, it's well-performed. Yeah, I really, really like it. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10... Nazi war criminals on the run.
Okay.
Laura? Yeah, I echo your comments on this film. I thought it was just so beautiful, and I recommend seeing it in a theater, even if it, you know, don't let the time scare you. Just don't be like me and drink a bunch of beer. That's a bad move.
Should be a new rule. If a movie is 3 hours, by law, you have to have an intermission.
It needs an intermission.
I'd love an intermission. I love intermission.
Wish they would bring those back.
I remember I saw 2001 this last summer, a repertory, and the intermission came, and I kind of forgot that happened. I was like,
yeah, me too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was like, woo!
You see, there's actually rumors that they have, the new Avengers movie is going to have an intermission.
I saw that.
Because
that's
so long.
Oh,
that's
kind
of funny.
But
yeah.
I'm in,
yeah.
A good break. I'm not mad at a little break, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Good. Continue your final thoughts.
No, beautifully acted, and I love how there are just so many setups and payoffs, and there are, it's just beautiful. The story is beautiful. I like the lives of the people. I like how it's artsy fartsy. It's like this art film, you know.
It's the only time anyone has said artsy fartsy as a positive thing.
I know, right? Well, I mean it positively. And I love art, and it makes me contemplative about my own music and stuff like that. So that's also nice. And I like it that this movie puts it in a positive light and gives you a positive feeling about art, because a lot of times people are so, they, you know, everyone looks down on artists. Everybody looks down on musicians, unless you're
the top two
people, you know, otherwise
unless you're fucking Ariana Grande or something.
Yeah. Ariana. So,
that new album is good.
How could you, she hurt feet like that?
It's fucking good, man.
It's good album.
Whatever,
I'm not good. A pop music guy. I don't know.
Ghostin' Baby is a nice song.
All right.
That's a haunting one. It's good. I do want to, real quick before, because one thing you said in your thing reminded me of this. This movie has nudity and sex scenes in it.
Oh, yeah.
That aren't super gratuitous.
No.
They're really beautiful.
Yes.
And you never see sex scenes in American movies anymore. Mm-hmm. Like nudity in general, unless it's just like, check out this ass for a second.
Right.
Yeah. And there's like a fair amount of nudity and sex scenes that are like really sexy and romantic and really well done, which is something I was like, man, I haven't seen something like this in a movie.
It's so such a long time. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And it was really beautifully done. And this isn't being like, check it out, there's boobs in this movie. It's like, as like a thing that's not portrayed in films anymore. This is another thing that is done really well. Oh. And it kind of reminds you of like a classic, again, epic or like old Hollywood school movie, like in the true vein of it, where it's for a purpose and it is sweet and sexy and all those things.
Yeah. And they're so sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, they love each other, and it really just shows that off so well. It's like, oh, wow, two people who love each other are having sex, and it's so beautiful. It's so nice. Like, you never see that, you know?
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, there's a lot of that. That might be a time when you could leave. To get, you know.
If you're with your kids. Come on, kids. Come on.
Yeah, well, there'd be a lot of walking out.
Not really a movie to bring your little kids to. Anyway,
yeah, so, no. I would not recommend that. I thought it was so beautiful. And I totally enjoyed this movie. I'm really glad I got to see it.
What's your rating?
So my rating, which is always arbitrary, I've decided, it's...
That's why we call it the arbitrary rating system.
Just a swath of blurred black and white aborted paintings.
Fair enough. And I know Laura's just waiting there for the movie that's like an opera singer taking on the entire Nazi army.
Yeah, and there's a little piece in here, and I was like, oh, I sang this. Oh, how nice.
She is available for gigs, by the way.